Welcome to Movie Banter!
Yay!
The sound of the listener there, being voiced by John and Jen.
Back of the full cast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, John's wearing a Cyberdyne Systems t-shirt.
Oh, yes, I'm that geeky.
Nice, yeah. Rock and roll.
I've got a Nakatomi Plaza one as well.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
I use it to judge people's film knowledge. If they don't acknowledge it's a brilliant t-shirt, then I have nothing to talk to them about.
Rock and roll. Good work.
And we've got Jen hot off. Off West End.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Which is deflating.
You let yourself down. Etc.
Back again. Three.
With the old behaviour.
Banter tears.
Three what?
Banter tears.
Close
banter
to tears.
Yes, I think Paul may be close to tears.
Yes.
Paul is slightly sleep deprived.
I'm back from Labour. Oh, it hurt me more than...
That's because we've got a Tory government now.
Well, exactly. since the last banter, I have a boy!
Yay!
I have a son. I've produced. I've issued forth.
No,
is that what you call it? What do you call
it? No, that's all. That may be right, but it's also very wrong.
No, I'm not
going to
say that.
No, stop.
You might hear him in later. He's off for a walk. He's doing very well.
He's gone for a drive.
Age of 4 weeks. But, yes, we were just. I had to just sing "Me and My Shadow" to him. It's the only song that works to get him off to sleep. I've played. I think my iTunes play count of that song was 3 2 days ago, and now it's 28. you can imagine how much I love that song right now. Slightly perturbed as well. It's a little bit racist as well.
I wouldn't really listen to the lyrics.
Well, it's Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
That is not in itself racist.
And the banter they would do before and after it every time they perform it was all like, Sammy was the shadow.
Oh,
I see. Frank was the me.
Right.
Slightly.
Is it racist or is it just sort of race related?
It is a fine line, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Either way, it works to get him off to sleep, so that's fine.
Well, exactly. Just deviating slightly. That Tiny Bubble song from The Mole.
Yes.
No, but that could... That
might work, but that would drive me even more mad.
Well, yes, we're trying to think of songs that may work for... Well, if you've got recommendations, email in.
Yeah.
But things of that sort of tempo. Mm. But there's a show called The Mole years ago, sort of reality TV, but sort of...
American show, isn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't reality. It was sort of half reality, half game show, and it's actually very good. And quite entertaining, but one contestant had to put up with listening to this song. I don't know if it's called Tiny Bubbles or if it just lyrics in it.
What did it go like?
Yeah, it's called Tiny Bubbles by Don Ho, I believe the name is the guy's.
Go on, then give us...
But the only bit I can remember is
Tiny Bubbles everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that seems a bit slow though, compared to what you were saying.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work for the baby thing.
No.
It was used in the show as he had to stay overnight in a house and had to just sleep in this room for 8 hours, and that was it. But they would play that song. Constantly.
Oh. So someone had that song.
Song
like had something like loads of snakes in the room, or something, or rat, and someone else had something else horrible. And I think the guy with Tiny Bubbles caved before one of the more unpleasant things. He had to stay on the bed. He couldn't get off the bed.
Oh, that's right. He couldn't leave the bed. Could he freight out?
And so he just was lying there with that, and with loads of, I think, bubbles just coming down in the room.
That's right.
And just that song playing.
And sometimes the song would play backwards, and sometimes sped up and slowed down, and it was just it's torture.
Drove
it was
horrible.
Yeah. Anyway, but
welcome to the podcast.
Sorry.
Speaking of torture,
more banter.
Here we are.
Movie.
Actually, speaking of torture, it's almost it's a torture special with Saw 3D.
Saw 3D. Yes.
Birkenhair,
Coindorf, and The Social Network.
Not at all.
Torture. Legal torture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. We've got lots of films we have seen. We've been catching up, so we've not been idle while we've been. No one was actually accusing you of being idle. Jen just getting very defensive.
Should we crack on with Social Network?
Social Network,
the Yorkshire Social Network.
Down to Facebook.
Yeah, this is David Fincher, all about a directed film, all about the creation of Facebook.
Mm.
Which I think when it was first announced, was essentially they're making a film based on Facebook.
Mm.
Everyone was a bit dismissive, and then it slowly realised what it was actually about, and realised it was a better
idea.
It's
a bit like
those
things where they say, like, Pirates of the Caribbean is based on a ride, and I think Ridley Scott's got the rights to do Monopoly.
Yes.
The film.
Oh,
and
really?
Battleship is being made as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is going to be essentially about sort of an alien, warfaring alien race that comes to Earth and then lots of pitched sea battles, which could be quite good. But it's going to basically it's still based on Battleship.
Lots of B7.
I suppose it's just.
And if no one says you sunk my Battleship, I'm very disappointed. But I don't quite know why. I mean, is the name Battleship that needed?
Much of a draw.
Exactly. Couldn't you just make a film on that idea anyway without Battleship being called Battleship?
I suppose so.
Have there been any other game films made
based on
board games?
Connect Four.
Ludo.
The Game of Life.
They had a TV series of Cluedo.
Yes, they did.
It's kind of a game show, though, because you had to guess who done it each week and then filmed different sequences.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm. So that's slightly different. That's slightly a bit more actually playing. Yeah.
And, of course, Clue. The film
and
Clue.
And the film Clue.
Yes, because in America, Cluedo is called Clue.
Cool.
I don't know which came first.
So there's one.
And yes. Is with Jumanji, was that a game first? Or is that?
No, I think they created the game afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's just a fictional game.
Fair enough.
But yeah, there aren't that many board game based.
I suppose there's just so many options, though, aren't there? Once you've just got a simple premise, and it could go so very, very well.
Solitaire.
Or so very wrong.
Twister.
Possible. That's basically the Saw
sure
film,
that's probably.
Yeah, but the film Twister with Helen Hunt.
Oh, see. Yeah, they deviated slightly.
I was a little bit disappointed when I went to see that. There was no left leg on a red splotch on the floor. Just the flying cows at windscreens. Maybe that's what the cow was trying to do.
Saw the red truck. Oh, I'll get my foot on that.
The deleted scenes.
Through the window. Oh,
deleted scenes. The cow is spinning a little. left hoof on windscreen. All right, then. That's what it's doing.
Excellent.
So this is based on Facebook, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how we got onto this.
Yes. So it's all about the creation of Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg, who created it in 2003 or 4, or maybe started in 3 and finished in 4.
Which is amazingly recent, if you think about it.
What's the thing? I mean, it's weird how... Because it set me thinking about my introduction to Facebook and how it was a friend of ours, who was at university at the time, was using it.
Is he?
Yeah, because, I mean, as we find out in the film,
that's right.
Yeah, it was a university's only thing. And I think when she was on it, it would have been 2006-ish. So I think it was pretty much every university in the UK could access it, but you had to be a university. So, I mean, she was around at my once and logged into it. And I thought, oh, what's this? Oh, it does that. Oh, fair enough. I didn't really think much more about it, mainly because it was universities and that was it. And then it was after one holiday when one of our techier friends had logged onto it and I realised or discovered that it was now open to everyone. So I might as well. And then it sort of, I actually searched back through emails to see sort of who was using it and when. And just seeing a sort of a slow flow. It was around March 07, I think most of my friends seemed to get on board quite quickly. Just in terms of, because once a few people used it, then everyone used it. But yeah, I mean, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah. And so this clearly isn't a film that's been in development for 10 years.
No.
Exactly. 10 years ago. We've got this great film about a website. You haven't heard of it.
Yes.
Well, the fact that most of this film is actually based on legal writings, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of it is essentially, it's sort of a legal court case film, but far livelier than that would imply.
Yeah, because all of it seems to be accounted, and so it doesn't seem to get personal or make-believe or fantastical. Mm. It's all based on people's versions of events that have been written down at the time.
I think the only bit which is definitely fictionalised is at the beginning of the film, Mark Zuckerberg breaks up with a girl, breaks up with him, and then he sort of feeling a bit drunk and belligerent goes back and makes a website about comparing women.
I'll show them.
Yeah. And the recurring theme is him sort of trying to get this girl's approval or forgiveness or something.
Yeah, it's very
And apparently she's a combination of a couple of women, but that's just sort of fictionalised to pin the whole thing on.
But even then, that conversation is sort of based on his blog, isn't it? And
also on a
testimony that he made later.
Because we see the entry writing on the blog, I think is actually what he wrote.
What he wrote.
Or pretty much what he wrote. So while it's not 100% accurate down the line, I think the general gist pretty much is. Mm. I mean, the inspirations might not be. But as Jen said, it's all documented in legal cases. So a lot of the facts aren't really up for dispute because
I didn't expect it to be quite as legal based as it was. Really, I was expecting more sort of the origins of this, and it's. I mean, they do certainly have. There is a few of the moments throughout the film where it's telling you about the origins of it. Where there's the suddenly, like there's the bit where someone comes in and says to him, "Do you know if that girl is seeing anyone?" He says, "It's not like people walk around with their status just put." Hang on a second. I've got a great idea. Let's do the show right here.
And it's ready.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think I love this partly because it's written by Aaron Sorkin of West Wing fame and others.
Gotta love the West Wing.
Yeah, dry humor.
Yeah, and you can see his sort of hallmarks
straight away in the very first scene that date breakup thing.
Yes,
you can instantly see. You think in another film that would have taken about 10 minutes that scene, but it takes 2 minutes because he writes that dialogue.
It's like a play. Yeah. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, he's very good at essentially writing for clever people or clever characters.
Yes,
because it all sounds believable, but also funny and very quick fire. But it's just for me, it's almost the perfect film for me. Not necessarily the perfect film overall, but I just loved it because it's partly geeky, partly fast paced, partly funny. But also geeky. But also related to sort of creating a website and running. I know. I did deliberately mention geeky twice. Because there aren't that many geeky films out there. But also talking about creating a website and running it and sort of developing it, which I can relate to on a far, far smaller level than Facebook. But so there were a lot in it that I could relate to. But also, because I saw it with you, Jen. Because it's not... I think, there's a lot of legal stuff going on, but it's not too legally... And
little brain did explode. No, it didn't. No, I was absolutely fine. Well,
there's lots of. I mean, a reasonable amount of sort of geeky references and talking about hacking stuff to a degree and coding and other things. But there's enough.
But you get the impression of what they mean, even if you don't know the specifics.
No, exactly. Because a lot of what they're talking about is beyond me. But it's not. I mean, some of it I could relate to, or at least understand. What they're referring to, if not what they're talking about.
It does mean I kind of walked away from it thinking, I don't feel that clever anymore. It's not a film to walk away from thinking, I'm going to feel better about myself after the end of this. Feeling poor and stupid.
Not stupid, because it's just different frames of knowledge. Yeah, if there's a film all about comedy writers, then Mark Zuckerberg might just come away, he might see that and think, I'm not funny.
But I'll make a £1 billion website about it.
Well, yes. Well, that is true.
What I think amazing about this film is that obviously Facebook is something that's just so now ingrained and everyday and simple and part of our lives that it started off as such a small idea in someone's bedroom while having a beer. It's incredible. And also the fact that it started off being all about being a tiny niche, a little elite society.
So the exclusive Harvard thing.
That was its selling point. And then all of a sudden it managed to flip to be so popular because it is so general for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
It was just a very... Because they talk about how they wanted to make it exclusive. And so they make sort of the Harvard connection or whatever the original idea was, popular because it was exclusive. And then by sort of slowly expanding the exclusivity... So it's still exclusive, and as a result, sort of it keeps people out, but then they want to be part of it because of that. So he's just got university. Mm. The one idea, which I don't know if actually came up in when they were developing the site properly, but which I loved in the film, is when they're trying to work out, there's sort of one university campus that already has its own social network, saying, so we're not going to be able to pitch it to them because they've got one. So how can we get it to them? So, well, what you need to do, you need to pitch it to, the 100 or every university round them in a 100-mile radius, because then all these other universities will have it, and that one will be the only one that doesn't. Mm. And all their friends will be on it, and then they'll start thinking, "Whoa, okay, we want to be with all our friends, so we'll use Facebook as well."
Mm.
Which just wouldn't have occurred to me. It was just a very simple way of sort of still exclusive, but then using it to be more inclusive.
And it's very interesting. They do a lot with the character, don't they, of Mark Zuckerberg?
Mm.
And it's very interesting seeing a real-life person. He's annoying, really. He's got this sort of... They're playing up these sort of antisocial tendencies that he's got, really, of saying that... I mean, it's one of the big ironies of the film is they're saying he's made the ultimate social network and he's socially a complete misfit.
Yeah.
But I thought was it Jesse Eisenberg?
Eisenberg.
He's very good.
He was.
Conveying and actually sort of made him quite, if not likeable, happy. Yeah. You're happy to watch him on the screen.
Yeah.
You can absolutely understand. You can see where he's coming from, why he has to do what he does. Mm. And it all makes perfect sense. Mm. Which of course it did, because it's a true story.
Well,
that's what happened.
Well, interesting, because I know there's lots of talk beforehand about how Mark Zuckerberg doesn't come off well in this. But watching it,
I don't think he came off too badly.
I think Sean Parker, who's played by Justin Timberlake, he doesn't come off particularly well. Mm. But even he's not. There's a degree of sort of connivingness going on to cut out one of the other founders of Facebook, Eduardo Svarin, I think. So there's a degree of that, but it's not even that sort of malicious. It's all with reasoning. And while Eduardo might feel he's been a bit stiffed, to a degree he brings it on himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he kind of gets just left behind as the site progresses without him, because with Sean Parker and others getting involved. So, no one really... I don't think anyone comes out too badly.
No, I think it's interesting, though, that Sean Parker is being played by Justin Timberlake, and obviously it's the creator of Napster being played by a musician. I don't know. There's something very pleasing about that. The fact that he is a little bit sort of... Not slimy. No, slimy, yeah. I think he's a little bit slimy in his approach. Very well oiled.
Cool. Yes. That's it, because he's playing a character who has done extremely well for himself and has made a success already.
And then made a loss, didn't he? Isn't the point that he's in debt?
I think he declared bankruptcy. This is what he says in the film. I don't know if it's actually true. I think so. He had declared bankruptcy because Napster was being sued by everyone. So essentially, in order to get out of having to pay any lawsuit, if he declares bankruptcy, then he's unable to pay anything. So he just has to be left alone, I think.
But obviously, without him, it wouldn't have grown the way it has.
Well, exactly, because he needed, he had that sort of experience. But I think his point is either made in the film, or Mark Zuckerberg said it in an interview, saying that they sort of... Everyone focuses on either the money aspect or the defrauding people aspect, and no one seems to get that people just wanting to build something for the sake of building something cool, which I can understand that. And I think it may relate more to people suing him rather than the filmmaking, because in terms of the film, Mark Zuckerberg always seems to be someone who wants to make this a success, and he doesn't seem to really care about the money because he's putting off the people saying, put adverts on it or sell it or other thing, and he doesn't really want to do any of that. He just wants to make it as good as it can be.
Well, although I saw a clip years ago, which was, can't be that long ago. Facebook didn't have any idea. There's a clip of Mark Zuckerberg when they talk about advertising, and he was doing a presentation to other Facebook people and industry people, and saying, yes, we have this many adverts, we can make this much money. We have this many adverts, they make this much money, and we have adverts in this place, and have it like this, and we have to make this much. Mm. And then a BBC journalist who was at the thing said, "But why? What about not having adverts? Because then people quite like it at the minute, and because there's no adverts." And he sort of just laughed at the BBC journalist and just went, "But no, you've got to have adverts because we're going to make millions."
Well, yeah.
And the BBC, okay, but we won't like it very much. Well,
he hasn't done pop-ups. No, which I think was the main thing at the time.
Yeah, part of it is probably trying to do advertising the right way. Because for a while, I think it's a couple of years ago now, I was talking to someone about Facebook and they mentioned the adverts. And I said, I hadn't even noticed there were any. And there are adverts on Facebook, obviously. But they are subtler than most.
And they are actually tailored to you.
Actually, they're generally relevant. Occasionally irritatingly relevant when you suddenly go, we've got cycling here. And I'm guessing, did you say you've got lots of baby related?
Well, yeah, the week after we got married, suddenly I'm getting all this baby stuff. I'm like, one step at a time, Facebook. It was a bit like that. In fact, occasionally I click on the cross thing to say, no, don't want this advert. And it says, do you not want this advert? And I go, no, I don't want this advert. And it says, why don't you want it? Is it misleading, offensive, or other? And I go, other. And it says, please tell us why you don't like this advert. And I say, because it's an advert. And about once a week I'll do that. Just, I don't know if anyone ever reads it the other end, but I like the old Facebook. I don't want my adverts.
Yeah. It did have, creepy. I'm sure it had adverts. Didn't it always have adverts?
It's not always had adverts.
No.
In the last year or so.
But I think also, because running a website myself, I know adverts are unfortunately a necessary evil.
Exactly.
Ultimately. Yeah. And so, it's got to be paid for somehow.
Exactly.
Then you either charge for it or you have adverts. And I think chances are now, if they suddenly said you'd have to pay to use Facebook, if it was something very small and reasonable, most people probably would.
Do you know what? I think the gloss of Facebook is starting to wear off. A lot of people are actively anti-Facebook.
You say, a lot of people, I know there was a sort of campaign against it recently, people saying, right, today is the day where you sign off Facebook. And maybe, for tens of thousands of people did. But with a user base of 500 million people, basically nothing.
And
it's become...
But if you start charging, then I think people might get up.
No, that's true. Yeah, it may give them if nothing else, I think it would probably cause a new replacement to come in. And someone's developed sort of an open source, privacy hardened version of Facebook, or its own social network, which I know exists, but I can't remember the name of it, which in itself is quite telling, I think, that it exists, but it's not being that widely used because it's not Facebook.
That's for the social network too.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we should have the social network too, movie mistakes. I want to see the story of movie mistakes and the legal wrangles you've had.
None whatsoever. It would largely involve me sitting in my bedroom watching films, which isn't that entertaining.
Aaron Sorkin won't come calling there, will he?
Probably not, really.
Wonderful standoff scene between me and Gemma Arterton.
Standoff? Or no, no.
No!
anyway, so ultimately, Social Network is extremely good.
Yes, and Aaron Sorkin is a good reason that it is good, I think. And David Fincher is another good reason.
Yes, yeah. And Jesse Eisenberg. And yeah, it's just great. It's very well cast as well.
I think it's just a great film for modern history.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think if you hate Facebook and computers and talking, then don't go and see this. Yeah. But it's not geeky enough to put anyone off. It's not legal enough to put anyone off.
No.
There's no reason to be put off it on any level. Just go and see it because it's very good.
And we're going to, in tribute to it, we will do a Desert Island Discs. Flicks. Sorry, Desert
Island DVD.
There's a copyright problems there with Radio 4. Desert Island Flicks, which this week we're going to do computer based films.
Yes.
The other thing is the theme we've had lately is it's been Halloween.
Yes. Well done.
Thank you.
So we have two Halloween-based films, horror films, Saw 3D, which we'll talk about shortly, and Burke and Hare.
Yes.
Burke and Hare. Da-da-da-da-da-da, Burke and Hare.
Oh, dear.
I haven't seen it.
Is that a remake? It's based on a true story, but I think there was a film.
There have been. It's not so much a remake, but it's a telling of the same story.
Oh, I see.
Yes. But yeah, there was another film. I think it's called The Something Murders.
It's called Burke and Hare. I saw it and I went... I think
there is another one that was called Something Murders.
So this is about newsreader Michael Burke and playwright David Hare.
And he engages in a race with a rabbit.
Is that right? The Burke and the Hare.
Yes.
Who gets it first? The Hare. Exactly.
Oh, which way do I go?
The Burke goes all over the place.
Yeah. No. This is Simon Pegg and Andy Serkis playing two Irish, immigrants to Edinburgh. Mm. They're either con men or else just trying to make a living and occasionally that involves
they're con men, they're trying to sell...
But I don't know if they're professional con men all the time or if they're just so desperate for money that they occasionally con people.
Well, the first time we see them is them trying to sell
They're conning people. Yeah, it's like with saying, oh, a special Irish moss which will clear and it's actually cheese mould.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
So, basically con men, yeah. And Simon Pegg Andy Serkis is married to Jessica Hines. Which was some space references. That's a nice little thing.
And there's quite a few peppered cast members from space in it, actually.
Yeah, well, it's sort of a British...
Ronnie Corbett's in the trailer.
Yes. I'd seen the trailer, but I don't think I'd seen him in it. So it must have been a different one. So when he came on, I was like, hey!
And,
it's got Stephen Merchant's in it.
Okay.
Rhys Shearsmith is in it. Who I didn't recognise at all until the credits when he...
I slightly deviant from movie banter. But did either of you see Psychoville Halloween Special?
Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy it? I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
Is it still on iPlayer?
It's on iPlayer. Yeah. So if you're in the UK, you can watch it. If you're not, then you have to wait for the DVD.
Or use BitTorrent.
But Psychoville, I didn't really see Series 1, but I want to now.
I think I saw most of the Halloween over time.
It's very good.
Yeah, I saw most of it. I think split into sort of two viewing sections, but including the one episode, which was a rope tribute, back to films tenuously.
And just like the Halloween special, which was very filmic, and actually they showed it in a cinema a week ago
before
it was on TV, so it kind of makes it a film first.
Yeah.
And also lots of film references, like American Werewolf in London was in there, and loads of other Halloween type films. But very good, I thought, very scary and eerie and funny and good.
Worth seeking out.
Absolutely.
Yes. Actually, American Werewolf in London ties back to it, because his director, Burke and Hare, is directed by John Landis.
Yeah.
His first film in a while, who has insulted me personally to my face.
I was waiting for that. I knew this would happen in this episode.
I'm not really insulted.
You always drag up the Landis, don't you?
Right.
These are the legal wrangles you can have in the Social Network 2 movie mistakes.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Yes. No, he's the most famous person I think I've ever met on my Big Breakfast stint. He was there and he said to me, "Don't you have a job?" To which my response was, "Yes, this."
Yeah.
Which was, well, it was an all right response, but I should have said, "Well, at least I've never been charged with manslaughter." I later realised. That would work.
Was he charged with manslaughter?
He was. Oh. Yeah, someone's stuntman, I think it was a stuntman, died on the set of The Twilight Zone movie, and he was possible negligence. I think he was acquitted.
Yeah, that would have ruined the tone, I think, of the light-hearted Big Breakfast.
I know, but I've often wondered how that would have gone.
You wouldn't have come back, I think.
Probably not, but I could have become famous. He punched me on the face and stormed off.
In the same way that when I was on The Weakest Link, and Anne Robinson called me Mr. Ugly. Exactly.
It's a bit harsh.
And she said, "There's only room for one ginger on this show." And I didn't get a right to reply because I was voted off quite early. Even though I was the strongest link of the first round, but anyway. But I walked off, literally do the walk of shame. And during the walk of shame, they asked you, what are you thinking during the walk of shame? And what I was thinking was, what I really should have said was, at least I wasn't a bad mother because I was an alcoholic when I should have been breastfeeding my kids. But I didn't.
Wow.
And I didn't. To this day, I wish.
But we have both now aired our options.
Exactly. Yeah. There you are.
So,
there
and hopefully won't get sued, because I think both are legally provable.
I think right.
So that's fine. But yes. But anyway, fucking hair.
Rather tangential.
Yeah, sorry. It's been a while. We're just sort of we're catching up. But yeah, so they play two Irish immigrants who are starved of cash, or starved of food, because they're lacking in cash. And they run a boarding house, or Andy Serkis and Jesse Hines does do. And one of the residents of the boarding house dies, and then they happen to hear that due to recent legal clampdowns on executed criminals not being used for medical purposes, or someone else is getting them all, that there's now you can sell bodies for a reasonable amount. Say, all right, well, we'll take this guy along and sell him on. And they do, and the doctor says, well, if you happen to come across any more, I'll pay handsomely for them.
I'm not even sure if you can legally sell the bodies. The fact is that there's these research centres in Edinburgh, which are all about studying human anatomy, and it's all at the forefront of biology, human biology. And all of a sudden, people get a bit precious about who's developing what, and so they create this this documentation which stops anybody's going anywhere else other than to the Royal Academy, the research centre. So all of a sudden, these bodies are in demand. And it's a true... Obviously, this is a true story.
Oh, yeah.
And so they end up selling them rather underhandedly, I think.
Yeah, except no one seems to question initially, because it's the doctor played by Tom Wilkinson, who is sort of, he sort of demonstrates, you know, carving up bodies to students. So he... I mean, so he's doing it in public, so people must know he's getting bodies. But I think it may... I think if people are permitted to leave bodies...
It's left to science.
Yes, that's why. So no one knows that he is buying them, which causes problems down the line. But they start trying to work out where they can get more bodies from, and eventually realise they can just start bumping people off to get the bodies and then make a fortune. And hilarity ensues.
Yes.
There's a subplot as well about Simon Pegg, who's Burke, meeting an actress, and then so in order to, and she wants to put on a play, and in order to win her heart and put the play on, he needs the money as well. And I think that is
Isla Fisher.
And I think that is entirely fictional, but they presumably, because Andy Serkis needs the money to sort of look after his family.
No, I think actually there's a bit of truth in that, because I think this actress was arrested.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think, but we'll have to check again.
But it was all right. As a film, it's
a bit weird, though, isn't it?
It is.
So
it's not
strangely dark, and yet got this.
But it's not that dark. That's the trouble.
It's still about killing people.
Dark, isn't it? Really, I suppose.
It's
going to be quite light.
Yeah, but it's not. But there's some real slapstick in there as well. Yeah, which seems a little bit forced. Oh, there's the militia who's led by Ronnie Corbett with Reese Shearsmith as one of the soldiers are a little bit too slapsticky, and they don't quite fit. They'll suddenly sort of turn up and fall over or shoot themselves in the foot. Gag moment. It doesn't quite work.
Yeah. And there's also weird scenes between Lucky and... is it Burke or Hair? Can't remember. Circus.
Hair.
When they have creative ideas, which are like almost predicting the future kind of ideas, but the best time for them to create these ideas are when they're having sex.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a little bit like, okay. Oh, there we are, right.
Yeah, so the uneven is possibly the right word.
Yeah.
And it's not, a couple of chuckles, but it's not funny enough to be an outright comedy, but it's not dark enough to be particularly dark. So it just treads this slightly wobbly middle road.
Yeah.
Where there's nothing bad, there's nothing particularly unfunny, or particularly undark or too dark. But it's just a little bit forgettable.
It's a nice idea, reinventing, saying these two guys who are sort of the bad guys of history. They're the heroes in this film. It's kind of nice, sort of.
Well, no, they're not really the heroes, though.
Aren't they?
No, they're still bad guys.
Anti-heroes?
Well, you'd like them.
They're in the title.
Yeah, they're
lovable rogues.
They're likeable.
The lovable murderous rogues.
Yes. And I think the way it ends is how it actually ended as well.
Yeah.
And I won't give that away, because I wasn't in...
But it's based on true story, so you can find out.
Well, yes. I'm sort of damning it with faint praise, really. Because there's nothing really wrong with it. I think if you really fancy going to the cinema and you're stuck for what to watch, it's all right.
I'd give it a 3 out of 5. I think, it's on the good side.
Yeah. I think they wanted it to be a big Halloween release. And actually, I think Paranormal Activity 2 was the big one.
It's not remotely horror-y. It looks great, though. The film
looks
brilliant. And there's also a nice little cameo by Bill Bailey. which is a bit odd because he's shaved.
No.
Yeah.
All over.
And just naked, head to foot.
Yeah, which is a nice little...
I've heard there's a cameo with Michael Winner as well, is that right?
Oh, yes.
Yes! Ah, yes. Yeah. That's actually quite
funny. Oh, yeah.
And Michael Winner.
Yes, and what happens to Michael Winner? Yeah, mate, it's either self-aware on his part, or he didn't really care. Well, but I just sort of went, hey!
Yeah. I heard that John Landis put him in it thinking that no one would know who he was.
Oh, right.
Because, you know, John Landis has this thing of putting directors in films.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he realised he hadn't got a director in this film, because he does it in all his films, he likes to put directors in.
Right.
And most of them you don't notice, because no one knows what directors look like.
Yeah.
And he's done, I think he's done about 100 over his career. And he realised he was in the UK, I think he was chatting to Edgar Wright, and Edgar Wright couldn't do it because they're working on Seven Things, X's, Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
And there's a couple of other guys he tried, and they couldn't do it because they're filming things. And he thought, oh, Michael Winner, yes, I'll get him. And he did it having no idea that Michael Winner is not just a director in this country, but is also this
star and irritating TV
bizarre, grotesque sort of star of TV commercials and his own TV show where he just slags off people who cook. So yeah.
So that did pepper it up nicely. Bonus.
Yeah. But that's it. So it's fine, but it is just an average film, which doesn't mean bad, but it also does mean not especially good. But I think if you like the people, then it's quite watchable. And
and also it does actually look what you imagine Edinburgh to look like in the Victorian times.
And I don't know if it's filmed like in and around Edinburgh, but it's there's a shot of the castle and down. Quite possibly. I wouldn't be surprised. But it feels how Edinburgh feels. I mean, having been there very recently, knowing the city well, it all feels right. And there are certain, there are a couple of shots involving the castle which are probably just CGI or back projected or similar, but I did find myself thinking, oh, that'd be a sort of grass market around there, no, that fits. The locations all feel good.
And it's got a little cameo sort of appearance or gesture to, what's the name of the dog? Is it Grey's dog?
Greyfriars Bobby. Which I didn't know what that was.
But I was there going,
I've seen his grave up in Edinburgh. It's quite quite sweet.
Because there's a scene in a graveyard, and Jen, and there's you see a dog, and Jen just turns, oh, that's probably the dog. Yeah. Right, yeah. And then it's after.
Well, you know the one that if you rub his head, the statue.
The tail wags.
No. He's got like a little shiny egg. Is it meant to be good luck?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've tried that trick before.
Stop it.
Worked on many dates. Meanwhile, then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all right. But it can comfortably wait for a DVD.
It's just a bit weird. That's all.
Yeah.
Other big Halloween releases saw 3D, which we will talk about shortly. But should we do movie mashups first?
Yes. Which we mentioned several weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, this was prompted by a TV show, which I think mentioned it, and I thought it could work here. The idea is you take two film titles which connect through the medium of a sort of shared word. So one ends with one word, and the other one starts with that word, and then you describe what that film is, and then people have to guess the film titles.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a good example other than the ones I've already come up with, which are kind of ruined.
Why not do one? And then we'll guess it, and then we'll work
okay,
it.
Well, for example, because I'd forgotten about this until last night when I got reminded via Facebook. So came up with them very quickly. But, for example, a teenager has to travel through time to rescue his friends from an evil tyrant on a floating city, which is a slightly convoluted weird way of describing the second film.
Floating city, water world?
Floating in space.
In
clouds. It's a city in clouds.
Howl's Moving Castle?
No.
What was the first bit?
An
evil tyrant who controls the Empire.
Empire Strikes Back to the Future?
Yes!
Now we get it.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay. So things like that.
I like that.
Very good.
Let's have another one.
Fair enough. Another one. A son visits his dying father, who tells him ridiculous sounding stories of jewel heists, affairs, and dead dogs.
Is it Big Fish?
Yes.
And... what was the jewel heists?
Jewel heists, affairs, and dead dogs.
Dead dogs.
Dead dogs.
Dead dogs and jewel heists and fish. That will. I don't know.
British comedy. Well, I say classic.
Big Fish Called Wanda.
Yes.
Dead dog.
Yeah, Michael Palin trying to kill all the old women and keeps killing off all our dogs.
Of course. Of course.
I just remember the chip up the nose.
See, that's wrong because you could describe the films quite detailedly, then that makes it a bit too easy.
Yeah, but, anyway. No, that's good.
Waking up one day to find gigantic alien spacecraft hovering over major cities, the inhabitants of Earth also have to contend with man-eating plants roaming the streets.
I know this one, but I'll let Jen just look like an idiot for a minute.
I'm thinking District 9 or...
No. Although, yeah, fair point, but multiple spacecraft over multiple cities.
Independence Day of the Triffids.
Yes. Right, Day of the Triffids. I wouldn't have got Day of the Triffids.
And this one is slightly more obscure, or well, one of them definitely is, which is, also, I should say, I've written them in the order of the film titles.
Okay.
Which actually isn't necessarily the way you should do it. But anyway, a US Marshal stumbles across a doctor performing unethical experiments, the results of which cause him to question his own sanity.
Ooh. Oh, God.
That's quite obscure. The first one is a very recent film.
Is it US Marshals?
No. Oh. Very recent film.
Oh.
US Marshal questioning his sanity.
Okay.
I think he's a US Marshal. He was a US Marshal.
Is it Shutter Island?
Yes.
Unethical experiments. Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yes.
Yeah, Shutter Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
Clever.
That's quite good.
We've had a few sent in by Jed. In fact, so many that we could probably spread out over the next few weeks. So we'll do a couple now.
Oh, that might be quite nice.
So, yeah. Jed, if you haven't heard all yours, then don't worry. We'll get to them at some point. So, for example, Denzel Washington is hired as a bodyguard for Dakota Fanning. And when she's kidnapped, Denzel calls upon his friend Robert Downey Jr. to create a suit of powered armour for him to confront the kidnappers.
That's quite cool. Yeah, so his descriptions are better than mine.
So what do you reckon that is?
Well, I've got it.
Iron Man, something.
Iron Man on fire.
Iron Man on fire.
Which also sounds like the most awesome film.
It does. I'd watch that. Iron Man 3, Iron Man on fire. Yeah, I'd watch that. Too right. Yeah.
See, now this one, I think it seems almost too easy. Saying the Dark Lord Sauron forges the one videotape to rule them all, in which he traps the evil sorceress Samara. Long afterwards, Frodo inherits the videotape, unwittingly unleashes Samara when he tries to play it, and epicness ensues.
Well, that's got to be...
Surely that's just Lord of the Ring.
Actually abbreviated the title to make it...
But it's still the merging of two.
Sort of works, okay. Here's one for you, then. Shall I do one for you? I haven't thought it through properly, so it might work. Okay, the year is 1942. The place is Africa. And one man is standing alone against the Nazis with his TV news crew who end up fighting them in the streets. And that's it, really.
I know exactly what you've done, but that's... You've done slightly sound... There's more sounder like that, but it's Casablanca Man.
Yeah! Casablanca Man!
Which is...
the legend of Humphrey Bogart.
That is amazing. Well,
that should happen. That should definitely happen as a film.
Because it's a little bit like Encino Man or California Man, so I think it was.
Just a bit, isn't it?
But
yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
But yes.
Oh, there you are. Do you want to do any more for now, or should we come back to them for another week?
I think, too much of a good thing.
Yeah, we'll hold off for now. But if you want to, now you know, as a listener, you can email in any ideas like that, and we'll read them out.
Yeah, and you can either, I don't know, actually, did Jed send in the answers?
Or he did as well, but okay, yes, indeed.
So, I think if you're going to email them in, then either leave the answers until we do it, if we get stumped, or put them sort of way down the emails so you don't see it. But probably, I'd say leave off the answers.
Well, we've yet to be stumped, haven't we, of all these?
We're that good.
So come on, test us.
So leave off the answers, and then once, if we read them out and we can't get it, then email us in.
podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or Twitter is probably too short for them. But probably. Twitter @moviebanter.
Yeah, any other thoughts?
Or even our Facebook page, actually.
Very true. Yes. Good. Well, let's wrap up with Saw 3D, shall we then? And then a quick bit of Desert Island Flicks, and then we'll pretend this never happened.
How all my dates end. Saw 3D, Desert Island Flicks, pretend never happened. There may be a reason I'm single. Now, Saw 3D.
Drop ahead for good luck.
Very shiny. I had the option to last night and refused to.
Well,
because
you chose well. You passed your test.
Which number is this? Is this like
seven?
Yeah, and as we all know, the seventh time's the charm.
Work for Police Academy.
I don't even think I've seen this.
Worryingly, they had. I've listened to Richard Bacon's podcasts on Five Live this week, and he had Claudia Winkleman on, who's taken up a film in 2010. So he did a little film quiz for her to test her film knowledge. Mm. And one of the questions was, name all of the full titles of the Police Academy films.
Oh.
And she got one. I'm ashamed to say, I got them all.
Oh, so now we need to do this now.
Okay,
right, there's Police Academy.
Yep.
Police Academy, Their First Assignment.
Yep.
Police Academy...
Citizens on Patrol.
Citizens
number
on Patrol.
Three.
Four is Citizens on Patrol.
Yeah.
Three is Back in Training.
Correct.
5 is Assignment at Miami Beach.
Right, yeah.
6 is City Under Siege. And 7 is Mission to Moscow.
Well done! Very good!
Oh, that's knowledge that I didn't know was hiding in my
brain. That's worrying.
Well oh, that's quite worrying.
Well done. That's quite... You're past your... Again, link back to Saw again.
I better qualify than Claudia Winkleman to do film 2008.
You host it. It'll be all our Police Academy films.
I chose not to see it last night because it's... I've seen all of them. I've seen sort of 4 or 5 in the cinema and 1 or 2 on DVD. And it's... I think because it's in 3D, I resented paying more money to see a film I wasn't that bothered about seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And it didn't... I didn't actually notice the 3D. Maybe it's because I've got a wonky left eye.
Well, that's true. But, but Ian, my flatmate, saw it and said that he wasn't... He was... The 3D added nothing to it.
Didn't need to be in 3D. They kept on sort of saying the hype that bits would fly out at you and the traps come alive. And it's I didn't really feel either.
Isn't that what they're saying on all the posters, isn't it? Like, this was designed for 3D or it was just...
That probably means shot in 3D, which I think more films are saying...
No, but more than that, like, this is what 3D is about.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But 3D, for horror films, is the one sort of genre I can see it continuing in, really. Because, you know, some of them have worked. Some of the slasher films have.
No, I suppose. And if you really want the proper audience involved, but, that's what they want.
I mean, it's more of the same, really. It's they say it'll be the last one. Yeah. But it does leave it a bit open.
Yeah. It started off so well. I mean, the first film.
I think I would enjoy the Saw films a lot more if they were rated 12A. Or maybe 15, maybe. But, I quite like this idea of the sort of... The twisty turny thing, quite like, and particularly in the first Saw film, the big reveal. I didn't see that coming. That was very good. And then they thought people flocked to see this film. It must be because of the gore, and it wasn't. It was because of the good idea.
Because the first film as well is more. I mean, I can't think. The latter films haven't really been scary beyond just sort of knowing something horrible's coming. But except for the first film, had one moment of proper scare with the photographer in his apartment, sort of triggering the flash.
Yeah,
when you see the. Suddenly a leap out moment of someone in the shadows you weren't expecting, but all the others have just been a bit.
Well, they've been about this sort of twisted relationship between the main guy and then other people having revenge. Mm. And do you know what? I honestly think that a series of films should tie on one from another. And as I've missed a few, I just haven't really been motivated to go back.
Yeah. I think also someone did on YouTube. Well, I haven't watched it yet. What I want someone to do, which is. I think it's sort of like all the Saw films in 6 minutes. So I think it's basically all the plot important bits boiled down to 6 minutes. And that's the interesting
stuff. It's all you need, really. And the trouble is, just before each Saw film has come out in the cinema, I've had to read on Wikipedia what happened at the end of the last 2 or 3 because they kind of assume knowledge as well. They don't let you think it up.
No, the thing is, I don't really mind that because chances are, if you haven't, if you haven't seen to see Saw 1, then why are you going to see Saw 2? Because it's. If you're going to like that sort of film, then you would have seen the other one.
Yeah.
But it gets too convoluted. I think, imagine, especially by this one.
Yeah, it's quite convoluted. There's a lot of characters, a lot of recurring characters from previous things. And some of them, like Cary Elwes comes back, which is nice,
because he's one of the big question marks over the series.
Yeah, and some of them work. But then sometimes, I mean, they've got a bit formulaic as well, that now that lately they've all been about, there's been one plot about a guy who's going around a kind of maze with people he knows set up in traps in it.
Mm.
And then in the meantime, there's another plot about the police trying to track down the Jigsaw Killer or whoever's now being the Jigsaw Killer, and the police being sort of annihilated as they go. And it's the same each film now. And it's not what it was, I don't think. And also, without hopefully giving much away, when you've got this bloke going around the maze, and it's normally a guy who's being evil in some way, being punished, the ultimate punishment, and he's going to watch various loved ones suffer and then be killed off himself, probably. Mm. And which means that although they're all tests and they're all sort of like, but what now you're here is your business partner and we've set up a test for him. You'll watch it and you can help him by shedding blood. And you just know that he's not going to pass any of the tests because otherwise, when you've got sharp, pointy things pointed at someone's eyes, the Saw audience they're thinking aren't going to want to see people get away with that. They want to see the daggers go into the eyes. So you're thinking, well, this is not going to be a trap you can escape. There's no sense of jeopardy or, anything like that there. So there you are. I feel very odd talking about Saw 3D. Well, you may have heard some slight gurglings in the last couple of minutes because Jen. My young son has decided to join us, and if you hear any gurglings, then apologies. But his mother needs to sleep. Let's face it, we're not that busy, really. No. If this is work, then...
Yeah, you can talk and hold at the same time. I'd better hold the baby at the same time.
So,
you'd be literally left holding the baby.
Exactly.
But that's it, actually. I think, so ultimately, Saw is more of the same. Go and see it if you want to go and see it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
but
it. Really.
You have been warned.
Yeah.
But that pretty much does us, except for...
Desert on Fleeks. Yes, best computer film.
Yes. Yeah. Which there's a reasonable selection, I think, over the years to better and worse degrees. Mm. You've got your classics like Tron, which I have to admit, I've never seen. Ooh. And really should do before the new one comes
definitely,
out. Comes
definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Actually, I could just go
Hackers. I've never seen that one either.
I've seen that. I think that's a little bit more overhyped and sort of fictionalised, and also not as good.
Yeah.
But it has got Angelina Jolie in it, so can't be all bad.
I'm going for Sneakers. Can I just put that in while
Sneakers.
Robert Redford and others, Dan Aykroyd and Stephen Tobolowsky. Good film, yeah. And sort of just
I remember Robert Redford, but not
older guys, kind of, you know, hacking into government things, and it's good fun.
Yeah, I thought it was Robert Redford and lots of young people.
Oh, there's some young people in it as well.
I may be mixing up with Fred.
Yeah. I think James Earl Jones is in it as well. And,
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, Sidney Poitier. Oh.
Sidney Poitier, that's
Was Lawnmower Man like...
Oh.
Yeah, it came flooding back.
No, that is a very computery film. I did have that on video. I remember watching it once and being very disappointed by it.
Yeah, no, I'm not choosing that.
It's very much the early 90s virtual reality. This is the future. It looks dreadful.
Yes.
Kind of film.
Well, I'm actually going to go for War Games. Because it's the classic. Cool. Yeah, it's just, I'm such a child of the 80s. I mean, I'm just such a child. And I don't know whether if I could watch this film with perhaps Social Network back to back, what I would feel. But right now, I've got such a
fond
sport.
They are different sorts of films.
Yeah.
I mean, War Games doesn't rely too much, I think. I don't think it's, well, it's obviously aged.
Yes.
But nothing there, because it's all sort of basic hacking in with a basic computer, rather than claiming, wow, this is some hyper-powered everything.
Yeah, the story is the main thing, not necessarily
exactly.
The technology. So.
Cause it's not, whereas Lawnmower Man is very much, look at the technology, it's aged horribly.
Yeah.
So War Games is a classic for good reason, I think.
So, okay, I'm going for that then.
Fair enough. But personally, I'm going to have to go to The Social Network, just because I loved it. And as I said, I can relate to it on various levels, and it worked for me.
It is
on
a
every
great
aspect.
Film.
It's very well written, and also has enough computery stuff in it to keep me happy, because I'm a geek.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, little Joseph?
What's Joseph's favourite computery film?
So far, Joseph's only seen one film.
Oh, right. Was it Saw 3D?
He's seen half a film, which was Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Oh, dear. Why? Why would you start him on that?
That's not a bit of trivia I hope to remember for the rest of the film. I
had it
recorded off the TV.
His first complete film,
no, he hasn't seen a complete film yet. So he hasn't seen anything. To be fair, I've seen him while he's been in the room. That's
well,
it.
Actually, given because baby's vision range is very short, so unless he was right in front of the TV, he probably wasn't. No. He's not seen it.
Square.
He quite enjoyed Psychoville, the Halloween special. Slightly worried what that'll do to him in the future. But still, there was an odd moment where there's Dawn French plays this character who thinks she has a real baby, but actually it's a doll.
Yes.
And she was sort of nursing her baby and just sort of lulling him to sleep, as I was doing exactly the same with a real baby. And it just kind of looked a bit weird for
a
moment.
Is he a real baby, though?
Yes, he is.
Very much a real baby.
Anyway, we should wrap up. But see you another time on Movie Banter, podcast moviebanter.co.uk for things.
Tweet us at Movie Banter or facebook.com/moviebanter.
Please do.
If you want to like us or post things or anything.
And any of your movie mashups, do send them in as well.
Oh, yes, please
do.
Thank you.
We'll see you or talk to you next time.
Will do.
Bye.
Ta-ra.
Bye.